Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and all of Southern California. I'm Farley Malaris, and you're listening to Astrological Metaphysical Radio, the phenomenon of the 80s. Also known as the Astrology Hour, on KFOX, 93.5 FM, your talk alternative. And a hearty good afternoon to you, Southern California, live at 12 noon to 1 o'clock. Frankly, it's a very exciting show for you. Today's show is called The Chart on Fire, which is a show that I delivered about 2 years ago. And I find that when people are going through too many hard transits in their chart, and a hard transit, we've been talking about transits a little bit this week, and too many hard transits means that you have one too many squares, oppositions, possibly conjunctions to your chart that light up other squares and oppositions. And frankly, this is the classic example of people having a hard day or giving themselves a hard time or giving everyone a hard time. So a very, very interesting show for you today. Let's look at the chart on fire. Okay, kids? Yeah. Have you ever had a bad day or a bad month or a bad week? Or maybe a hard year. How about a hard 2 year period? How about you just got out of a mental institution or perhaps a prison colony and you're sitting there going, Farley, I'm real curious to know if I have chart on fire. And Farley goes, yeah, I don't have to look at your chart. If you just got out of prison, then I'll tell you that you probably do have a chart on fire. You know, we talked about the transit trines earlier this week, and I like to hit people with the good news first a lot of times. Because I do find that if I do discuss the transit trines in front of the chart on fire, that people will go, oh goody, there's something to look forward to. There's hope and there's love and there's light in my future and I'm really excited about that. And then I get to the chart on fire. And the chart on fire is not a bad aspect. In astrology, there's nothing really bad. Astrology is almost like the DMV, where you have road signs and rules and regulations that we'd like to follow to ease the pain, to lessen, reduce, or remove the pain, and obviously put you into more of a nirvanic, orgasmic state in your life. See, what happens when we have a chart on fire, and frankly, the more square transits you have to planets in your chart, a square usually means I want, or gimme, gimme, gimme type stuff. Three of those, right? And the opposition transit usually means that you want something, or you're obsessed with something or somebody that you can't have. See, when you have a square transit, you say, I want that car. So you buy that car, then you get hit up with a mortgage payment on it, and afterwards it's like, wow, did I really want that car? That was a square transit. In an opposition transit, you say to yourself, I want that man or that woman. And you can't have that woman, but you aggravate yourself out of it, over it, or you finally manifest having that person who treats you badly, or you treat yourself badly because of the bad relationship it is, right? Or you put yourself in an extenuating, uncomfortable circumstance. And I must remind you, once again, that a square transit means that there is a planet in the sky that is at a right angle to a planet in your chart with the Earth at the center. Let's get this straight. That means, let's say, the moon in Cancer, for example, is in one spot, and you draw a line from the moon to the Earth, right? Then you draw another line from the Earth to the planet in your chart in either at 0 or 1 degree Libra or 0 or 1 degree Aries, because 0 or 1 degree Aries or Libra happens to be at exactly a right angle to that Cancer moon. So you would be having a moon square a planet in your chart. And also, because we already have Uranus and Saturn at 2 degrees, 1 degree Capricorn respectively, Saturn and Uranus that is, the moon right now is opposed Saturn and Uranus. So we're having an earthquake watch today in Southern California, and actually this morning, and you know what, there was in fact an earthquake, I believe, yesterday or the day before in Santa Barbara that possibly could have been triggered by this Saturn-Uranus conjunction. You know, we could have a quake during the show with the moon opposed Saturn and Uranus. Anyway, anyhow, if this sort of thing goes on in your chart, like let's say you do have Capricorn planets at 0, 1, or 2 degrees, then that would put the Earth in the middle of an opposition where the moon is in one part of the universe in Cancer, and Saturn and Uranus exactly opposite in Capricorn puts the Earth in the middle. That's called an opposition aspect. Now, what is the chart on fire? Well, obviously, if you're going through one square transit, then obviously you're having one of these I want that aspects. And if you're having two square aspects, then you're saying, well, I want that and I want that over there, which means I want to have this house, I want the car, and I want this relationship to work. And then you're having another square aspect, self, you're being totally selfish and you're actually obsessed. You're having obsessive behavior. Now, at the same time, you're having an opposition transit, which is telling you that you are manifesting alien elements into your life that are wrong for you, and you're going to have to be slapped on the hand here, metaphysically and cosmically speaking, to reveal to you that this is, in fact, wrong. So what happens is, in my opinion, is if you have three or more square or opposition transit aspects setting off your chart in any given time, you have the chart on fire. Now, the chart on fire can mean, number one, nervous breakdown, emotional breakdown, suicidal tendencies, intense anxiety, intense stress, fear, worry, or, because astrology is so wonderful and so powerful and so good, and there's nothing bad, if you recognize your obsessions and your selfishness, and you recognize that what you actually want and desire now, your materialistic and your emotional desires here, what you think you want, is wrong for you, then when you have the chart on fire, it's time to let go, right? Like, there's a lot of things going on in my life right now. I have 10 birds. One of them flew into the window. You know, like, I want 10 birds. One bird wasn't enough. I had to get 10. Another one got pregnant and laid an egg. You know, I have two cars. You know, one car wasn't enough. I manifested another one. I got insurance problems with one of those. I got a boat now. I got an engine problem with that. You end up with all these materialistic things. Notice the I want. And meanwhile, Farley Mallers is trying to be spiritual. What's it hurt to have a few birds in the house and a couple cars and a broken down boat? But these are things that as you get older, and if you do become successful, or if you do make a bit more money perhaps, then because this is a commercial society, we go out and buy things. Or there's a parrot that costs $150 and we want this bird because this bird is the answer to everything we've looked for. We never think about taking care of a parrot as like taking care of a baby. That requires just as much attention. In fact, you might be better off with a baby because the baby might sleep more than the parrot. Whereas the parrot makes squawk all day long. So, you know, I'm sitting there looking at my chart today. You know, I was going over some of the things in my chart. I'm having a Pluto square Pluto, right? I'm having a Neptune square Neptune exact. I'm having a moon conjunct my Venus that is already square Neptune. And Saturn and Uranus are both, you got it, Saturn and Uranus are both oppose my Venus. And then Venus in Taurus is oppose my moon, square three of my Leo planets, and Mars in Capricorn is square my ascendant. So that's 9 or 10, right? Squares and opposition. So I obviously qualify as not only a potential spiritual leader in Los Angeles, but also being one obsessed, selfish fool who has a chart on fire right now. And I'm sitting there going, well, Farley, I know the career is important, but what about this congestion that you still haven't gotten over yet and this throat thing? You haven't been resting enough. You've been working too hard in your career. And then there's relationships. Oh, yeah, we got to include relationships because we want to have those work in our life too, right? And then there's food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You don't want to miss a meal. And, you know, you put it all together, and sometimes you realize that some of these people on the street, right, that have nothing, they may have a chart on fire, but, of course, they may want a lot of things, but they don't have much because all they're looking for is a little shelter, a little clothing, and some food. It's almost like birds. Birds look for shelter. They look for clothing. No, they don't look for clothing. They look for shelter and maybe a nest. And then look for a few seeds or something to eat during the day. But anyway, I was sitting there today trying to figure out what exact topic do I want to do today? I thought, well, maybe I should do the chart on fire considering, let's see, whose chart's on fire? Yeah, Farley's chart's on fire here. Yeah. In fact, Jupiter's the only planet that's not affecting me right now. So I'm glad there's one planet out there. Oh, Sun is also square my Venus. Let's count this up just for fun. Sun square my Venus is 1, and then Sun opposed my Neptune is 2, and then Venus square my Sun, Mercury, Pluto is 5, Mars square my Ascendant is 6, Saturn opposed my Venus is 7, Uranus opposed my Uranus is 8, and opposed my Venus is 9, Neptune square my Neptune is 10, Pluto square my Pluto is 11, and Moon on my Venus square my Neptune is 12 squares and oppositions in my chart. So obviously a day to relax, meditate, be optimistic and confident, and try not to let any of this get to me. Because you know what happens? When you have a lot of squares and oppositions in your chart on fire, and if you happen to have cardinal planets like I do, because those of us with Aries, Cancer, and Libra and Capricorn, we can't handle the chart on fire because it creates irritability and it creates anger. And we're looking for people to give us a reason to get upset and feisty and antagonistic and such. So in case that does happen, then what happens is you can create negative karma with your relationships, which is something that you don't want to do. So in case that does happen, then you obviously want to recognize, number one, that you are having a chart on fire. And number two, at the same time you recognize that, you want to try and do something about it by identifying some of these things you want, some of these desires that you're worrying about. You might want to make a list that says, what am I worried about? Insurance, taxes, cars, payments, mortgage, the birds, the career, the boat. And then you say to yourself, the third dimension is an illusion. This is a holographic projection. And matter is an illusion. So is time. And I am God. I am a being of God. And I am rising above this. And this is all a big test and a game for me. So I am going to slide through this. I'm going to go to a movie. I'm going to relax. I'll meditate. I'm going to go have not a chili dog, but maybe a pita with some rice or something in it. A couple of other comments about the chart on fire is that, thank goodness, even though we may be going through lots of squares and oppositions at once, we are also going through some sextile and some trine aspects that can help us, get over the chart on fire and help us overcome some of the stress. I do find that the more squares and oppositions you're having transit-wise in your chart, then obviously the more karma that you're going through right now. That's right. A square transit to a planet in your chart will reveal a karma that you have with yourself prior to this life cycle. So if you had been self-destructive in a past life, or if you had been greedy or with avarice, malice, jealousy, vengeance in a past life, personal damage to yourself, then the square will reveal that part of your nature which karmically is not sound. The opposition transit will always, oftentimes, bring in people in your career, in your love life, with your relationships and your contact with people on a daily basis, like agencies, tax agencies, accountants, lawyers, doctors, and such, that will trigger a catalyzer. You see, because you always have karma with the self. You always have karma with the self and with no one else. Everyone else acts as a catalyst or a reflection of the self to help you plug into what you have done as far as a negative vibration that is sent out that will come back to you. And of course, the main way to absolve karma is to meditate. Transcendental style meditation, Hare Krishna chanting, Zen Buddhism, Namyo Renge Kyo, any kind of chanting will put you closer in touch with the higher self and the intuitive mind to help you witness certain karmic experiences or certain situations that you may go through that could help reveal to you a karma from this or a past life that will help you put things in perspective in your higher mind and therefore absolve it without having to go through any kind of personal crisis or trauma. Another way to absolve karma is to try to cut back some of your obsession and some of your desires. Because the more you obsessed with, the more you desire, the more responsibility you accumulate. Obviously, when these aspects, this chart on fire hits, then the test of having materialism is abound. I mean, that abounds. And also, another way to try to absolve karma is to try to either keep a peace or make a peace with most of the people you know. Unfortunately, there will be some hate and there will be some anger in life. I've been analyzing and researching guns lately when thinking about, number one, what it takes for an individual to buy or own a gun or to learn how to use a gun. Number two, the experience, the vibration behind loading the weapon. Number three, shooting the weapon. And then number four, even pointing it at another living or a human being, for example, and pulling the trigger. I mean, I'm talking about a multi-step process that an individual has to go through that I find damn hard to do myself. If somebody handed me a gun, for example, and they said, clean it, load it, aim it, fire it, and then kill something, by the time I got to the last step, I would be sitting there going, what? Are you kidding? Like, I'm having enough trouble even holding the darn thing, much loading it, right? The thing is that many of the people on this planet have guns, and they're comfortable with them, and it's easy for them to load and hunt and kill, you know? Talk about karma. You wonder what's going on here. When a guy like President Reagan, who not only has a nice gun collection, but he has a whole nuclear stockpile of 10,000 warheads aimed at Russia with his finger on the trigger. Now talk about ego. Somebody said that was an expression of some kind to have nuclear weapons or whatever. But obviously, depending on what position of power and authority dictates your level of responsibility, so depending on what level you may be, that will help analyze and understand your individual chart on fire. For example, we don't want the President of the United States to go through a chart on fire, but he goes through it all the time. And he ends up sending 3,600 troops all armed to the teeth, right, with grenades, grenade launchers, AK-47 rifles, M-16s, and all this stuff, you know. So if you think about one person going to a gun shop and buying a Winchester or a rifle or something, or think about the President of the United States sending a whole armament to another country, obviously, this is a chart on fire that can start a world war. So now you know what it's like for Saturn-Uranus to be in conjunction to and opposed and square a few planets in Ronnie's chart, right? So this guy should probably meditate. Too bad the president to get up there in the platform and say, I have been meditating for 15 years. You know, and people go, yeah, let's elect that bubba president. At least the guy can channel his stress without sending troops. You know, it's like, good morning, Honduras. Okay, and we are ready to go to the phones. Well, hopefully it won't be good morning, Honduras. That was a joke. Okay, so let's go to Nora now on line 4, reminding you that I am Farley Malaris. This is KFOX 93.5 FM, your talk alternative in Redondo Beach here weekdays at 12 noon normally with the Astrology Hour on KFOX. And besides that, you can meditate the rest of the day. You know, it doesn't matter to me what you do. Just turn on your radio 12 to 1 o'clock, you know, rest and meditate. Then 3 o'clock, turn it back on again. You know, you get the point. Let's go to Nora now on line 4, who has got a Pisces sun, and it must be interesting, huh, Nora?
It sure is, Farley.
Does that Pisces give you a hard time?
Constantly.
Yeah, I know. There's Pisces out there giving me a hard time, too, I'll tell you. I think we should throw them in the ocean. No, I'm just kidding. Now, what can we do for you, Nora?
Okay, my son...
Oh, did you handle that topic?
Oh, sure.
You've heard that before, haven't you?
Yeah, I have.
You've been listening for 3 years.
Yeah.
Now, you should be doing charts soon, Nora.
I've been doing them.
All right, a good student. Are you one of my students?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, I love you.
I've got your videotape, everything.
All right.
All right. Well, my son needs surgery in the next 6 months, and I was wondering if you could tell me what would be the best time for him to have it.
Can you share with me what kind of surgery?
Yes, it's hernia.
Hmm. Wow, that's scary.
Yeah.
Well, I would think he's got a Capricorn 27 sixth house. Yeah, he's going through this Uranus square Saturn and Saturn square Saturn. This has been going on for a while, huh?
Not too long.
How do they know he has a hernia?
He had some swelling.
Uh-huh. Can't that go down by itself?
Yes, it did.
It did?
Yeah, he's okay.
Yeah.
It's just it could flare up, so...
Figure we better go cut him up, huh? Surgery scares me, you know, for some reason, for little kids.
It sure does. It's not my choice.
Frankly, if it was my child, and once again, I'm not medically advising you here, I wouldn't wait for Saturn or Uranus to go retrograde, which means I'd probably do it now.
Uh-huh.
Like imminent.
Uh-huh.
So any time in April would be a good time, except for the Scorpio moon, which is going on April 3rd, 4th, and 5th.
Okay, but any other time in April would be all right.
Yeah, April 30th, there's also a Scorpio moon. But usually, with an aspect like this, you want a Earth moon, like a Capricorn moon or a Taurus moon. So I'd say Saturday the 9th would be a good day, or Saturday the 16th or 17th. Doctors probably don't do surgery on the weekends, though. So good luck, okay?
Thanks a lot, Farley.
And try to avoid a void course moon during surgery, too.
For sure.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, gosh, I don't like surgery, though. It scares me. I'd do anything to get out of that. It's like, where do I go? I need some advice here. Let's go to Julie now, the Libra. Hi, Jewel.
Hello.
Jewel, who's this on line 5?
Oh, this isn't. This is Pamela. I've been waiting for 3 days, actually.
Somebody took down your name. So what's your birthday, Pamela?
It's July 21st.
What year?
52.
Okay, what can we do for you?
Well, I was going to comment on what you were talking about, but I also was going to ask you for a general, because everything's been on hold for the last 2 years, it seems.
Are you a member?
No.
Okay, then you don't know your rising sign yet.
Yes, I do.
Oh, what is it?
It's in my chart when you were at K-Rock.
Okay.
My rising is Gemini.
Well, I'm still there, so. Okay, so what do you want to comment on today's show?
Well, you were talking about karma and getting closer. I feel like sometimes I'm getting a glimpse of it, but what can you really do about it is the thing. I feel like it's kind of something you just have to go through your next lifetime. I don't know if it's something you can really absolve.
Well, it's like the reason why we're born in this dimension, in my opinion, mm-hmm. is because we're pulled here. In other words, there's something here that is left here. There are people here that we love or we care about. See, the third dimension, the materialistic dimension, is an illusion. Uh-huh. It's a holographic projection. But those of us that we like it down here, it's like a Disneyland.
Right.
So it's like a person that's addicted to Disneyland. That's what I call life.
Uh-huh.
So what happens is we get to a point where we place so much importance on this type of existence that we place too much importance on things. Right. Because in the universal balance of the soul, of the metaphysics of the human soul, spiritual priority is what's important. In other words, to reduce pain and to have more fun and to be more evolved and overall happier, it's important that we retain a spiritual priority. But what people do when they're alive on earth is they create obsession other than the spirit, and that's when we get trapped. It's like somebody that loves cookies and loves brownies and loves hot fudge sundaes and loves men and loves sex, or like when you die, your soul goes, oh, I'm going back there again. Remember, you have to go through adolescence and puberty and a childhood with parents and heavy schooling and all that stuff before you qualify to be an adult and supposedly have the fun that adults have. But eventually you reach a point in your growth and your reincarnation cycle that you realize the importance of the spirit, and the spiritual priority retains importance, and then you overcome the reincarnation cycle and you evolve to higher states of consciousness where supposedly bliss or nirvanic type situations exist.
Well, I'm trying.
All right, now, let's look at your chart for a general scan. It was July 21st, 52. So your karma is definitely relationships, men, love, sex, and all the above I talked about.
Oh, gosh.
And as far as you are concerned, you are a person with much compassion who is being given tremendous enlightenment right now. Talk about spiritual growth. You are being given a major opportunity. Although your obsessions may stay with you, you're being tested tremendously in the next 3-4 years. And thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Okay, let's go to line number 6. Is this Roxy?
Hi, Farley.
February 20th, 57, is that you?
February 20th, 57, that's me.
All right, Rox. Rox the Fox. Rox on the Fox. It's Farley, and it's Rox on the Fox. Okay.
I'm so glad that I got to talk to you. I've been listening to your show for like 6 months now. I just kind of wanted a general scan. I don't really know my rising sign.
Well, it looks like you have a Scorpio moon like me, so you are probably pretty vulnerable emotionally, huh?
Very.
Yeah. You also have Mercury and Venus in Aquarius that places a big emphasis on goals and friends. You have Mars in Taurus, so there's a major emphasis on men here. A lot of letdown in that area, too, because you probably try too hard.
Yes.
Then you have Jupiter in late Virgo. So, wow, you've probably been stressed out lately. You probably relate to this topic here.
Very.
In fact, you qualify for the chart on fire. Congratulations. You know there is a reason why you called today, right?
That's right.
Yeah, so you better cool it, girl, and calm down.
I'm trying to. I just graduated from a paralegal program. I'm looking for another job, and it's like lately this week I've been feeling like I'm taking things too hard.
Yeah.
I'm pushing too hard, and I'm feeling stressed.
Yeah, this week is definitely a lit week for your chart with all these planets in Taurus right now. So try to stay cool and calm and chill out, and we'll talk to you later.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Had somebody come in the control room here, and they thought I was Farley Malaris, and I thought, no, wait a minute, maybe somebody doesn't know what's going on here. Okay, let's go to Maria on line 7, Pisces, Aquarius, rising. Hi, Maria.
Hi. What I was interested in was the 1988 transits for me. I'm an astrologer, and I'm thinking of going into my business like full force this year. And I'm wondering if the Saturn-Uranus-Neptune in my 12th is going to be a detriment for me to do that.
Well, considering that all these Earth transits going on now with Venus in Taurus and Mars in Capricorn peaking right there in the 31st before the void course moon at 7 p.m., your chart is lit up. Maybe you don't know. If you listen to the show quite a bit, you probably do know that there's a grand trine happening March 31st. That's a wonderful entity time to begin any project for anyone's chart, much less someone like you who does have some solid Earth complements in your chart. So on March 31st, we will have a Virgo moon conjunct some of your Virgo planets, trine Venus in Taurus, and then grand trine Mars in Capricorn. And Jupiter, as you know, is trine Saturn and Uranus and Neptune, all three of the Capricorn planets.
Right.
So if you were to go into business, you probably should get it going quick. There's no moon wobble. There's no Mercury retrograde. And you can catch that energy if you can get it off the ground by the 31st, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, let's go to somebody else. David, on line number 8, a Gemini Sag rising. Hi, Dave.
How you doing?
Trying to do the show, but I'm having a good time.
Oh, that's good. How's the birds doing?
Well, you know, I think I'm going to write a book called One Too Many Birds. Either that or I'm going to become a butcher and start selling chicken. I'm just kidding. That's the one thing. You know what? I've always felt that people that were butchers had a real bad karma because they're the ones that come back as the food some of us eat. You know, so you've got to think there's been a lot of butchers throughout history here.
Glad I'm not a butcher.
Yeah, can you imagine some people work in slaughterhouses and they're butchers, and I say to myself, what kind of person is that, you know?
Yeah.
Probably a tiger in a past life.
Yeah.
And you're a Sag rising Gemini, so you like to go wild. That Virgo moon, not too much to temper that Virgo moon. It's like, let's party here.
I'm pretty much self-contained. I try.
Okay.
Well, what I was looking for is a little career information.
I bet. You and every other Sag rising in the history of the world. Do you know what degree your Sag rising is?
I'm not sure.
I'll say this. It appears your Virgo moon is either on the midheaven or just to the left in the 10th house. And if that's true, then you are lit for immediately being propelled into major success imminently, especially if you went into your own business immediately, like within the next 10 days also.
Right.
So you're another one of those people. Besides, Sag rising people sometimes make more money in business than anybody else because of their enthusiasm and their optimism. It spreads. It's
right.
Contagious.
Which is what I've been looking at, is starting my own business.
Yeah, well, now's the time, guy, because your career planet is lit for power right now, immediately, before the 31st.
Before the 31st.
Good luck.
Thanks a lot, Farley.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to another caller on line number one. Lori is a Taurus, Cancer rising. Hi, Lori.
Hi, how you doing?
Oh, I'm having a wonderful chart on fire.
Oh, well, sounds so happy. I can never tell if it's a good trine or a bad trine for you, but you're very inspiring.
Yeah, well, you know, I can't come on the air all angry and everything like I did yesterday. But as approaching 1 o'clock, I could work up a dander.
Oh, I see. Well, I'm calling, too. I'm not probably any different from anyone else, but I'd like a general scan, and I'd particularly like to know if you see a marriage for me this year.
Are you going with somebody?
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
Has it been a lot of changes and a lot of disciplines?
No. It's been very beautiful and very good.
Amazing, because I got divorced during Saturn conjunct Mars. Venus, you having a Saturn conjunct Mars now. I would wait till Saturn gets off your Mars, which will be into 1989.
Oh, really?
Okay. So if you can be patient with a long engagement, I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but with Uranus and Saturn on your Mars, those are two planets that can show divorce or breakup or extenuating circumstances or vibration that you might not be fully aware of at this time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know...
I'm not pushing for that. I was just wondering. In fact, you know, sometimes I've heard you say, why change things if they're good?
That's true.
So I'm,
I mean, like, you very well might get married around late August. You know, there's a big option for you there. There's an option to get married, in fact, in late April. You know, but at the same time, you do have some transit going on with your Mars that are somewhat interesting because it might mean that the relationship could be given a little bit more time to mature more fully.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, check it out.
Is this a trine time, or is this a chart on fire?
It's a conjunction. It's Saturn and Mars are both eclipsing your Mars. Saturn and Uranus are both eclipsing your Mars. Okay?
Okay, thank you.
Good luck.
Bye.
Bye. Okay, and let's go to Karen now on line two, the Cancer Cap rising. Hi.
Hi, Farley. How are you?
Fine. How are you?
Oh, pretty good, I guess.
All right. Oh, you're having the chart on fire, too, huh?
I have that feeling.
Yeah.
I'm going through a lot of relationship stress, and my company closed after 8 years, and so now I'm unemployed, and I'm having my Jupiter return, which is supposed to be great.
Yeah.
What's going on?
So they say, right?
Right.
Except when there's Venus and Taurus and Mars and Capricorn. So what's your question?
Well, I wanted you to just take a general scan of my chart and just let me know, is there hope in sight?
Yeah, well... I think the most interesting part of your chart here is that you just tasted the Pluto square Pluto, but Neptune has been square your Saturn. That's the hard one. Neptune in Capricorn has been squaring your Saturn in Libra. A lot of people in 1952 are getting hit with these imbalances, legal things and taxes, accounting, business, relationships, and overall balance and emotional balance in your life. It's like every time you try to get something centered, things go off whack again.
Somewhere else, yeah.
Yeah, and this is a long transit. Just hang in there and be aware of trying not to be too obsessed or create too much responsibility. It's karma time for you.
Yes, I felt that. Well, take it easy, Carly.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Let's go to Diane, and she's a Leo with Libra rising like me. Hi, Di.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you for being patient. What can we do for you?
Well, I'm interested in a general scan emphasizing on my spiritual side.
A general scan emphasizing on your spiritual side. You are going through one heck of a spiritual transit here. Neptune right now in Capricorn will be trying your Jupiter and Saturn in Taurus for about 3 years, and then trying your Neptune in Virgo. You are going through a spiritual surge incomparable in your whole life. It's wonderful. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. Let's go to... I rang her bell. Sally is a double Cancer. Hi, Sal.
Hi.
What can we do for you?
I've just gone through a major catharsis, I feel, and I think my chart's on fire.
Yeah, let's get the fire. You know, let's get the fire trucks over here. Okay, so what would you like to know? Just a scan of what it is?
Yeah, I guess so.
You know, it's all the Cancer energy. Mars in Capricorn, all these Capricorn planets, Moon in Cancer now, Saturn and Uranus in Capricorn. You're too sensitive and vulnerable for your own good right now, you know? It's like, get out of the house there for a while and go on a vacation or something, I think.
Really?
Aren't you taking everything more personal now than you've ever taken it?
Yes.
Yeah, I know what it's like. Okay, so good luck, but just be careful because you are having a Pluto trine to your Cancer planets and you are showing more metaphysical growth right now than third world obsessions.
Okay.
Good luck.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Okay, let's go to Reggie on line 7, who is a Pisces Cap Rising. Hi, Reg.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you for calling. What can we do for you?
I just want a general scan. I just met somebody new, and I wanted to know how things look.
Is it a woman or a man? A man. Well,
Leo.
Are you an expert at blowing people away from you when you meet them?
Sometimes.
Yeah, be careful, because you do have a lot of specifications and prerequisites that you can create with relationships. And I think caution and patience are important, and also giving a person a second and a third chance. Sometimes the guys you attract may be a little bit wild for you, and you might know about that ahead of time. Okay?
Okay.
Good luck.
Thanks.
Bye-bye. Well, I'm running out of time here, which is unfortunate, so we'll see you real soon. Weekdays on the Fox, 93.5 FM, your talk alternative at 12 noon. Have a nice day.